Welcome to another Webtorials discussion on virtualized unified communications. I would like to introduce our participants. Steve Taylor is Webtorials founder and publisher. He has been an analyst and author for almost 30 years and helped develop the concept of web-based training more than 15 years ago. Prior to that, he has real-world experience as a networking engineer with the University of North Carolina. And he will be speaking with Tack Berry, Senior Product Marketing Manager with Avaya. He has been involved with voice and data communications in both marketing and business development roles for more than 30 years. He holds a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering and a master's degree in electrical engineering from Ohio State University. With that, I think I'll turn it over to you, Steve.
Thanks so much, Patty, and thanks to all of our audience for joining us, and particularly thanks to Tack for joining us today. I've known and worked with Tack for over 20 years now, back to the days that we would have lively discussions about frame relay versus SMDS when I was writing for a magazine called Networking Management, and even to put it into more perspective, now that we all have at least 100 megabit per second communications hither and yon, I first met Tack when he was working for a company that did T3 TDM-type multiplexers. So we go back quite a ways, and he's also a very appropriate person for this topic and for this conversation since, like most of our community members, we both have a background in communications that's evolving into the entire IT infrastructure. So thanks so much for joining us, and welcome, Tack.
Steve, thank you very much. Let me take a breath thinking about all those years we've known each other. That's quite a start. But, yeah, you're right. Things have changed, and we're changing with it and coming up with some new ideas. So I look forward to our discussion today.
And thanks so much to you, Tack, for joining us today, of course, for this discussion on virtualizing unified communications. I figured we needed some kind of a structure for it and couldn't think of anything better than the five W's of any good story: what, why, where, when, and who. So let's start with the what. Tack, over the past 20 years, we've seen virtualization happening on a lot of fronts, so it's not exactly something new. We had virtual circuits in communications for decades, and of course, in many ways, virtual machines go all the way back to the 80s and VM, meaning virtual machine running on IBM mainframes. The major emphasis there has always been to optimize the use of resources in some way. So can you give us a quick update on the what question of what is virtualization today and what it might mean to us?
Sure, you're absolutely right. I mean, virtualization, virtual machines have been around for a while. The concept is not new. What's new is probably, or what has been updated over the last several years, is the infrastructure that we're using to virtualize. So as servers gain more capabilities, as servers get more processors, as processors get faster, they get more core processors, it's faster interface to resources, to memory, to storage. As those technology improvements happen, then the idea of virtualizing that server has become more and more useful. Of course, you know, VMware, Citrix, and Microsoft have been in this business for multiple years, VMware since the late 90s. And the key has been that they noticed the concept where processors don't use all of the time that you give them. So to run most applications, there's a lot of downtime in any processor, in any computer that's running. Even your desktop computer has theoretically the capability to run more than one application at the same time by interspersing the instructions, by interspersing the code. They took this concept, though, to a much higher level when they said, well, let's start to virtualize servers with the idea that any server can now act as multiple servers virtually. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Now, traditionally, this has been started in the data business and in the data capability, the data centers, in desktop applications, those types of applications which probably don't have as much real-time requirement. They were more easily virtualized in terms of being able to run multiple applications in parallel. What we're going to talk a little bit more about today and where Avaya has moved into this industry is the fact that to do real-time type applications, you have to have immediate response. You can't have delay. You can't have changes in the packet structure, if you will, as you're talking, because people notice that. So to be able to do real-time communications in the same sort of virtual infrastructure has not been as easy. what has happened in the last few years is, again, as servers have gotten better, as the hypervisor, as the VMware or Citrix software has gotten better, they're able to handle these shorter delays and these quicker responses. So they're able to handle real time. So we really see this as a natural step in terms of where virtualization was, where it is today, and the next natural step is to start to add other types of applications such as communications, unified communications, and real-time activities.
Okay, great. And so, of course, one of the challenges that we've been looking at over the past 20 or so years is what has often been called convergence. Started off, of course, at many times with convergence just being voice and data convergence, but also the convergence now of IT and communications. And so that's kind of been the last holdout in terms of this has been on the telephony side, with data having become integrated a lot more quickly. So I guess this kind of leads to the why part of the question. How do you see this continuing to evolve, in particular concerning unified communications and telephony?
Well, I think convergence is a very good term. I think it's exactly the area that we're spending our time on right now. Once we've added applications to a virtual environment, a virtual architecture, the next step is for the customer to understand how to implement these applications and this new infrastructure and this new architecture into their existing data center, into their existing network. And, of course, with a lot of customers, this is now the combination of what is the IT department's responsibility and the communication department's responsibility. And you're absolutely right. These two groups now are starting to look at, well, I need resources to run conferencing, and the IT department is saying, well, I'm using those resources for doing some database manipulation. So how do they combine that? How do they get to one goal? How do they get the benefits of virtualization, the benefits which include reducing of hardware, a reducing of rack space footprint, a reduction of energy consumption? How do they get those benefits as they're adding these other new applications? So we really see that the companies that are most aggressive in this area, that are seeing the biggest benefits the quickest, are the ones who are able to really combine this IT mentality with the communications mentality, who really see the benefits of unified communications in a virtual environment is a move ahead for both sides. And that's a real positive as we see those companies move in that direction.
Super, Tack. Thanks for that. But I have one particular question I'd like to ask of you, because Avaya has, in many ways, for years had a strength of being a company that deals with telephony. And with all due respect to our telephony counterparts, the traditional telephony-oriented folks have sometimes been the last to come along in terms of new technology. Does Avaya bring something special to that particular group as compared to some of the other folks?
I don't know that I would call it special, Steve, but I certainly think that Avaya has put a lot of effort and a lot of resources into developing this phase of where they see the technology moving. We've actually been doing virtualization at some level since the end of the 90s. We've tested Xen. We've tested VMware earlier. So we actually have put a lot of effort into making sure we saw where virtualization would fit, where it could work or couldn't work in the early stages, and made sure that we kept up with that. We have a mid-sized product today, for example, called Avaya Aura Solution for Mid-Sized Enterprise, that is a virtualized single server that actually runs 8 applications on Xen. And that's been out for several years now. So we've seen this as a growing pattern. We've seen it as a growing requirement. And we think within Avaya, we have the resources and we have the technology capabilities that allow us to take the best of that world, if you will, virtualization, and move it into exactly what you said, our expertise as a telephony provider, our expertise as a unified communications provider. So we see that not as a stumbling block. We see that as a positive for our company in terms of we have that capability to do that. Now, at the same time, we have a great partnership with VMware right now. They've been very helpful. They've been working with us all along in terms of us releasing our new products and getting them approved. So we see that as important as the industry goes forward as well, is you need this combination of companies, of technologies, to work together. And that, again, is something that we've worked real hard on, and we see that as nothing but positive in terms of what the future for communications is going to be.
Okay, excellent. Thanks for that insight. You know, I said we were going to start off with the five W's, but a lot of times there's also a sixth W that's at least at the end of the word, and that's how. So how are we going to do this, and how is this all going to work? So how comfortable are you that this really works? Earlier you mentioned real-time and non-real-time applications having really different needs because you can't afford to wait for a few seconds or even a couple of milliseconds that might not be noticed in a data application. So are you comfortable that a virtual environment can really meet these needs, and how do you ensure this?
Well, as you and I learned a long time ago, Steve, confidence is based on doing good work and getting the testing and getting the evaluation done correctly. And I think that's, again, a strong point from Avaya. We have tested our virtualized applications at the same level, the same capability, the same testing process that we test our dedicated server solutions. Let me make a quick point on this, if you don't mind. Avaya still continues to offer an appliance model. A dedicated server model, as you understand, is, you know, way back when there were PBXs, which were little boxes that did all the phone communications, and that's moved to the fact that what it is now is software based that runs on some sort of architecture of servers, whether it's servers that the communication vendor supplies, like Avaya has done traditionally, or whether it's servers that the customer provides, which is what happens when you virtualize. Either way, it's a group of servers running software. Well, we still offer the dedicated server solution, and we still have some very good customers of ours who want to use that, and that's fine. We think that's very positive. At the same time, we have other customers who are very strong in virtualization, very strong with VMware, who say, hey, I like this opportunity to move these applications to my own infrastructure that I control, that I provision, that I monitor, that I have the trained staff to support. And that's fine, too. So our point was we're going to offer both solutions, and we're going to make the solution flexible enough to meet the needs of whatever our customer wants. But to do that, we have to guarantee to that customer that it's going to work at the same level. So we've done extensive testing, extensive evaluation. Our initial releases of our virtualized applications, which came out late last year, are at the same level, same scale, same number of users as our dedicated server versions. So we feel very confident that with the level of VMware, the level of the hypervisor, the level of the virtualization technology, combined with the level of our expertise and our capabilities in what we've learned about virtualization and moving our applications to that context, we feel very confident that we're able to meet our customers' requirements.
Okay, excellent. And in talking about this ability to have various types of servers everywhere, et cetera, let's move a little bit to a discussion of hybrid environments. And in this case, I think we can actually combine two of the W's, the where and when, in terms of both the topography of the services and also how quickly or flexibly somebody can move from one to the other. Because, of course, one of the biggest advantages to virtualization is the ability to use servers in the data center, which we might call a private cloud, or truly cloud-based servers, or a hybrid of these. And how does Avaya approach this decision, and what do you see as some of the options there?
Well, certainly, it's an interesting discussion, isn't it, Steve, as we start to talk about things like virtual and clouds. It's an interesting move that we've made in terms of where communications has come in today's world. But certainly the cloud solution, what I like to call the hosted solution, has become very, very important to the industry in general. We don't necessarily see a lot of our large customers moving that direction yet, but we certainly think that they might. Certainly small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses, see that as a great opportunity. Well, one of the interesting responses we've gotten from virtualizing our unified communications applications is that we see service providers and companies that want to start to host UC looking at this as a great opportunity for them to start adding UC into their architecture with less servers, less hardware, again, less rack space, if you will, less energy, and allow them to handle more customers on a managed hosted basis. So we actually see virtualization of these applications helping move UC to a hosted architecture because they see this as an advantage where they no longer have to continue to buy servers per customer. They can use servers for multiple customers. And, of course, that gives them a great return on their investment and a great skill scaling capability in terms of what they're going to have to charge for their services. So we actually see virtualization as helping that process, and we've gotten very positive response from service providers and even business partners who want to look at doing that as an opportunity, that they see virtualization of UC as a great step in that direction.
That's great, Tack. You mentioned earlier that you still also offered dedicated appliances. I'm assuming that there's full operability between the dedicated appliances and the virtualized services or running the server as an appliance. Is that pretty much true? Could you elaborate on that just a little?
Yeah, absolutely true. Again, one of the keys was we wanted to make sure that our virtualization of Avaya Aura, which is what we call our platform applications, is consistent with our dedicated appliance version. So absolutely, we have customers today who may have a server version installed and running and are happy with it, but are ready to expand, ready to add more features. Well, they can add the features virtually. So you can take virtualized applications and add them to an existing dedicated server solution. The Avaya Aura applications are Avaya Aura quality, Avaya Aura functionality, regardless of the platform. And that's a point we like to make to our customers and our partners when we talk to them about this, is that once the application is running, you don't know whether it's on a dedicated server or if it's on a virtual machine, because it's an Avaya Aura application running on a server. As long as you have the resources available, and we give them pretty good information, configuration information of the resources that are required, as long as you have all the pieces in place, once that application is running, it looks the same. And in fact, the provisioning is the same, the management is the same. All of the interface, once it's running, is like any other Avaya Aura application. So it's actually very straightforward. And by the way, one of the things that virtualization does add is the fact that now when you install applications using VMware tools, and VMware has a very good management tool called vCenter, if the people aren't familiar with that, vCenter is actually a management tool that allows you to load, install the Avaya Aura applications onto the virtualized architecture. Very straightforward, very easy to do, especially for obviously people who have experience with VMware, but we're finding even people who are just learning VMware can do this very quickly. And it actually reduces the time to get those applications running within their environment ready for the next step. So we see that as an additional benefit by virtualizing. But certainly, we see customers who want to mix the two can do that. Customers who want to move from a dedicated server to a virtualized solution can do that. The key is we want to stay flexible and give the solution our customers need to move ahead with the Avaya Aura and our unified communications.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. And in fact, I was thinking as you were answering that one of my questions was going to be, well, gee, do you have the same user interface for the folks who are managing this in terms of a dashboard or a console? And it sounds as if the question there is absolutely yes. You really can't tell the difference from the management interface.
That's correct. The system manager, which is our management system, which is also virtualized, by the way. You can run it on a virtual machine as well. But yes, it handles Avaya Aura like Avaya Aura, regardless of the platform that it's running on.
Excellent. Well, obviously, particularly with all of our history, we could go on with this for hours or even days, but let's get to the final W here and leave the questions like prioritization of different tasks within the environment and security and all of those for a later conversation. Let's finally get to the fifth of the W's, which is who. Most suppliers in this space offer virtualized products to some degree. Microsoft, for instance, is highly virtualized with no or virtually no proprietary hardware. Cisco still has a legacy of being a hardware vendor. So why should our community choose Avaya? What do you guys bring uniquely to the table?
Well, let me address that a couple ways. Number one is, as you have pointed out earlier, we're a what was known as a telephony company and now a unified communications company, and that's our focus. That's what we do best. That's what we provide our customers. And that's really our intent. We provide servers to customers, but as you understand, we resell other vendor servers. We don't make our own servers. So that isn't part of what we have to do to maintain our business and to work with our customers. So our key is to give them the best solution for unified communications for business collaboration. So what we've done when we've virtualized is we've made sure that the same capabilities that were in our Avaya Aura dedicated server solution are going to be available. As I mentioned earlier, that you can mix them. But additionally, things like system reliability, system redundancy, which we think are very key for the communication side, we maintain that. We still have, for example, our communications manager, which is our basic call control application, still has survivable options in the virtualized solution as it does in the dedicated server version. Same sort of solutions. Our session manager, which is our SIP interface, has the same redundancy reliability features in the virtualized version as in the server version. So one of the things we made sure was when we moved to VMware, when we moved to a virtualized solution, yes, that brings some additional tools for us to use, but we wanted to make sure we maintain the same level and capability of Avaya Aura regardless of the platform. And we've done that. Now when you add the capability of VMware and their set of tools, which are very useful and work very well even in a real-time environment today, you actually add more benefits by virtualizing Avaya Aura. But the key is we wanted to maintain our reputation, our capabilities as a leading UC supplier. So we made sure we did that. We offer both solutions, again, server version or virtualized version. We thought our customers wanted to have that flexible choice, that flexible decision point that they can go either way. We're not forcing them to go one way or the other. If they're not comfortable with virtualization, that's fine. We will still have the products they need from us. And then finally, of course, Avaya is famous for their service and support. It's a strong point for any business, but it's a very strong point for Avaya, and our customers will constantly talk about how well we provide support, service, even after the system has been installed. And we will continue to do that. We will continue to support Avaya Aura regardless of the platform, continue to provide the managed services, the operational services, the service and support our customers have come to rely on from Avaya will still be there. So what I like to say is that, yes, we virtualized the solution, but what we've done is we virtualized Avaya functionality. So the strong points of Avaya are still there. We've just given you another deployment option, and we've also given you some flexibility in how you want to add Avaya to your system.
Okay, that's fantastic. And Tack, it has been great to catch up with you on all of these new capabilities and exciting things that you're doing. Let me remind everybody, by the way, that in many ways, even though we're approaching the end of the podcast, in some ways we're just starting the discussion because we do have all of the capabilities available for our listeners and readers at Webtorials to become active participants in this conversation through adding on comments, questions, etc. So, Tack, thank you very much for your time today.
Steve, it's definitely been my pleasure, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and Patty, I'll turn it back over to you.
Great. Well, thank you, Steve and Tack. It was an informative discussion, and again, we encourage all of our readers and listeners to visit the Webtorials website and continue the discussion with your questions and comments. Thank you.